Can you hear me? Do you want to hear me? Don't answer that. All right. I'll try not to be too annoying. Well, hey, happy Father's Day. Really, it's a privilege to be here today with you on Father's Day. And also, I really want us to remember Derek and Alicia. They've been gone, this is, I think, the longest they've been away from us since Derek became the pastor here. He's been away 2 weeks. I'll be coming back, as you know, next week, but really just want to continue to, as you think about it, pray for them and pray that this has been a time of spiritual refreshment and a time for them really to be really as far as not only refreshed spiritually, but refreshed physically as well. Being a pastor is not an easy job, and I know that every time I come up here on a Sunday to speak, it's like, oh, geez, I'm glad I only do this occasionally, not regularly. But the other thing I want to comment on, as you saw, we're going to be having membership classes. And I'm really excited about that. We are really have made steps to form and be our own congregation. We've got a bylaw and constitutions that a number of the leaders have worked on. And we've taken the steps to file for being an independent church organization. And so we're ready to actually have membership here. So I really hope that you'll consider coming to the initial membership classes that be part of Sunbury City Church. But if you would, just join me in a word of prayer right now. I want to just pray for Derek and even pray that the Lord's Spirit will be with us here this morning. Father, I'm so grateful for this group of people that have taken time out of their schedules to come and be here because I know, Lord, that they want to worship you. They are interested in truth. And Father, I just pray that the truths of your word will come through this sinner this morning. That if there's anything that I say that is an error, Lord, that it will be forgotten, and yet your truths will be recalled and remembered. And Father, I pray for Derek and Alicia and Donovan and Raymond, Lord, that this would be continue to be a special time of refreshment, both physically and spiritually for them. And as they come back, that they'll be renewed and again that, Lord, that you'll continue to bless our ministry here at Sunbury City Church. May we always be a ministry that loves you. And that's what our thing is, to love God and to live the gospel. And may it show in our lives. And I pray even as these upcoming membership classes, that each and every one here will contemplate and prayerfully consider becoming a part and being a member of Sunbury City Church. And that, Lord, not for ourselves, but really that we can continue to impact lives and build your kingdom in the city of Sunbury and the surrounding areas. So we just ask that this morning. In Christ's name, amen. Father's Day. I can't think of a better passage of Scripture to speak on than the prodigal son. So we're going to look at Luke chapter 15. I'm going to look at the whole chapter. So Luke is about two-thirds of the way through the Bible. And if you would, it'd be really good today if you have your Bible in front of you because we're going to be kind of looking at going through this story and reciting different passages as I go on. So it's Luke chapter 15, Matthew, Mark, Luke, starting in the Testament, it's a third of the Gospels. 15, of course, is the big number we'll start with, and we're going to start right at the beginning and read the whole way through the chapter. So it's a little long, but bear with it. It's a great story, and I never get tired of reading this story. And so I know that it's our tradition here that if you're able to stand, please stand up for as we read God's word together. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him, and the Pharisees and scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives and eats with them." This is Jesus speaking. And so he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents and over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what a woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it. And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me. I found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And he said, "There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of property that's coming to me.' And he divided his property between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. And so he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the fields and to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods the pigs ate, but no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, the father saw him and felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of his servants and asked, 'What do these things that mean?' And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has received him back safe and sound.' But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, 'Look, these many years I've served you, I've never disobeyed your command, yet you've never given me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found.'" You may be seated. Lost sheep, lost coin, and a lost son, this parable. I want to remind you again, and this is Jesus telling this story. This is Jesus giving us this parable. And that's powerful to me when I think about the way he portrays each one of these cases: the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. And I think it's fitting on Father's Day that today the main point that I want to bring out is in this parable, particularly the lost son, Jesus describes a father who is looking for you. Jesus describes a father who is looking for you. I want to set the scene for a moment because, you know, in this parable, again, Jesus used the example of this son who went out and is with swine. Now, you got to understand his audience right now. If you remember back in verse 1, his audience was the Pharisees. They were the Jews. And there was nothing that would be more distasteful than being among swine. Even today, you know, people that are Jews do not eat pork. So to use this example, he's now handling pigs would eat, the pods of pigs would eat. It just shows how low this guy had come. But then it says in verse 17, when he came to himself. And that's there's three characters in this story that we're going to be looking at today. The lost son, the father, and the older son. As we look at verse 17, when he came to himself. What does that mean, he came to himself? I think it's the realization that he made a mistake, that he offended his father. And I want to say this morning, I think it's an important point, that you cannot seek forgiveness or reconciliation until you recognize you've offended someone. Recognizing our sin is the first step towards salvation. You don't need to be saved from something to realize you're lost, right? So it's so critical for us to understand that recognizing our sin is the beginning of salvation. It's a restored relationship with God. But recognizing our sin is not a natural reaction. It's against the nature of human nature. I think you all feel that. Somebody accuses you for doing something wrong, or somebody brings something up, and what's the first thing? You feel you want to defend yourself. And that all started really at the beginning of creation. I want to just share a little bit about the book Genesis, the initial aspects of Adam and Eve. Even starting back there, we see this. And I'm going to read to you Genesis chapter 3, an account through 8, verses 8 through 13. Listen to what it says. It says, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day." And this is after they had sinned, by the way. "And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?' And he said, 'I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. I hid myself.' He said, 'Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?'" There it is. He's asking him, "Have you eaten? Have you sinned?" What does Adam say? The woman, he doesn't say, "I've eaten." He goes, "No, the woman you gave me to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate." So he says to the woman, "What have you done?" What does the woman do? Does she say, "Well," she said, "the serpent. The serpent deceived me, and I ate." God's presence, and when you come here each Sunday, the gospel, many times will bring up feelings of guilt and our own sinfulness. And I think the point of it is, are we willing to admit our sin? Are we willing, like this young man, to come to ourselves? Rather, do we say, "Oh no," thinking the woman you gave me, or the serpent, defending our actions, defending our behavior? I'm here to tell you, you will never find a restored relationship with God until you come to yourself. Acknowledge our sin. You know what the Bible calls it? It's in this passage. It's called repentance. The word Jesus used in the previous parables, as we face our sin, we need to repent. But yet, so often, like Adam, what did Adam do? When he knew he sinned, he hid. And that's our natural reaction. Verse 18, look at this. He said, after he knew, he came to himself, he said, "I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you.'" I want to note something here. He's rehearsing his words. He's getting prepared to go meet the Father. Have you ever rehearsed your words before you met somebody? I have. Oftentimes, but I know particularly one time, I'll never forget, I got in trouble in school. Don't ask me later what I did, I'm not going to tell you, but I got in trouble in school, and the teacher said, "You follow me," and I marched right up to the principal's office. And they had a little bench outside the principal's office I had to sit on because the principal had somebody else in his office. So I'm sitting on that bench waiting for the principal to come out and see me. Now, what do you think I was doing? I was rehearsing my words. What am I going to say? To try to find mercy. I'm sure oftentimes you get pulled over by a cop. And you're sitting in your car waiting for him to come up. You're rehearsing your words. What am I going to say to the officer? But what does it show? It shows that you feel guilt. You know you've done something wrong. And you're trying to find some way to find mercy. "I have sinned." Those are words of true repentance. It's confession. And there's two points about confession I want to make today. The first one is confession maintains our relationship with God. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's a wonderful process to be able to confess our sins to God. The verse right before that says, if we say we have no sin, the truth is not in us. We've all sinned. But confession allows us the freedom to be cleansed from those sins and maintain that relationship, that intimacy with God. The second point I would make is confession maintains our relationship with others. Matthew, I think I have it on your handout, Matthew 5, 23, 24 says, if you are offering a gift at the altar and they remember that you've offended someone, leave your gift and go and be reconciled. I'm telling you, it is the key for personal relationship. I don't care if you're talking husband, wife, father, children, co-workers, whatever, for you to be able to say, hey, I want to come to you because there was something between us. I was wrong. I know as a father, oftentimes I had four daughters and one would hit the other. I'm sure maybe it doesn't happen in your household, but happened in ours. And I'd go up and I'd say, "You, whoa, hold it." And the first thing she'd say, yeah, but. I go, no, but. You just hit her, yeah, but. Isn't that our natural tendency? Yeah, I know I did that, but. True confession is no buts, no maybes. It's, yeah, I've been wrong. I've sinned. Acknowledging our offense. I've heard it said, and I think it's so true, unconditional confession brings unconditional forgiveness. Will you forgive me? Now the camera of Scripture moves from the Son to the Father in verse 20. Verse 20. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. That's Jesus telling the story of our Father. What a beautiful picture. It makes me emotional. And I know a number of years ago, one of our daughters went overseas. First time that one of our daughters traveled that far. She was gone for about 2 weeks. We went to the airport to pick her up, and we went down to Philadelphia. We're at the International Arrivals Hall. I don't know if you've ever been there, but you have a place where you're waiting for them to get through security, and they kind of come around the corner, and you can see them coming. And Heidi and I were there, and we were so anxious to see our daughter come around that corner. But right in front of me were two Italian women. And every time somebody came around the corner, they were jumping like this. And I thought, oh my word, I don't know who they're waiting for, but I hope I am here to see when that person they're waiting for comes around the corner. And sure enough, I was. This other young girl come around the corner, and they're jumping, and they're hugging, they're crying, I'm crying. It's like unbelievable. They were so happy to see each other. But as happy as I was to see that all happen, it was nothing like when I saw my daughter come around that corner. I was looking for her. I could hardly wait to get her, to embrace her. Isn't it wonderful to have someone looking for you? Someone who cares deeply about you? Someone that you think the world of, who thinks the world of you. And I want to acknowledge here this morning that not all of us have grown up with a loving father. Some of you may not even know your father, or not have any relationship at all with him. And I want to tell you that in the Bible, there was not any fathers who were sinless or represented like the Father here. Jacob showed favoritism. David committed adultery. And even me. There's a conversation my wife and I had earlier this week. We were talking about different things that occurred between me and my children. I know that I failed. There's no perfect father here on this earth. It's sinners raising sinners. But in this picture, We've got a perfect Father. In this passage, Jesus reassuring us that we have a Heavenly Father who's looking for us. And even in the Genesis 3 account, remember how Adam and Eve sinned? God didn't stay away. He came looking. He said he was looking for Adam. And that prodigal son, he returned home. He rehearsed his words. You know what he was hoping? He was just hoping that he'd be able to sit at the servant's table and feed from the crumbs of the servants of his father's table. You know what he wanted? The point I want to make today is the prodigal son sought mercy. You know what mercy is? Mercy is not receiving what he deserved. And if that would have been your son or your daughter, you might have said, yeah, I see you coming back, but I know what you did. We'll just see how it works out for a couple weeks. See if you really are meaningful. That's what you really mean. I thought it would take a little while for you to come crawling back here. Is that the picture you see here? No. Bring quickly the best robe. It says, but while he was still a long way off, the father ran to embrace him. That son was hoping to find mercy. What this son saw was grace. You know what grace is? Grace is receiving what we don't deserve. Put a ring on his finger, shoes on his feet. Bring the fatted calf. Let us eat and celebrate. What a picture Jesus portrays of our Heavenly Father waiting for repentance so that he can enjoy the blessings of being his sons. Have you ever wanted to be part of a family like that? A loving family? I know Heidi and I are very close to a couple. A number of years ago, they brought a little boy over from Honduras. And he was brought here on a medical emergency because he had a heart problem. And there was a ministry that had him come over here. But because he was, I think, 2 or 3 years old at the time, he was going to go through surgery. They needed to find someone, place for him to stay for probably a year to a year and a half. And so these people we know took him in. He's here for about 6 months going through preparatory before he went through the surgery. They went through heart surgery and then stayed here about another 6 months, a little more than that. So he was here in the United States for about a year, a year and a half. And finally he was well enough, they said he can go back home, back to Honduras. So they sent him back, took him back to the mission delivered to the parents. After a few months, the mission contacted this family and just said, he has been so despondent since he's been home. Would you consider adopting him? I know they prayed about it, they thought about it, and they made arrangements to adopt him. And he came. And here is a young guy who is in so much trouble. A troubled land, troubled background, I won't go through the details, but he was adopted into a loving family that was richer, far richer than where he came from. That's the picture we have here. You know what the scripture tells us? Galatians 4, verses 5 and 6, it said, God sent forth his son to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption. That we might receive adoption as sons. And because, listen to this, it says, and because you are sons of God, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. And now with the story, we're going to move to the elder son. Observations of the elder son begin in verse 25, and it says, "Now his older son was in the field, and when he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And so he called one of the servants and asked, 'What do these things mean?' And he said to him, 'Your brother has come home, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has him back safe and sound.' But he was angry and refused to go in. So his father came out and entreated him." You know, the particular character in this story that Jesus portrays perhaps may be the most convicting to us today. He's the rule keeper, the religious one. And Jesus describes a self-righteous heart to his audience, the Pharisees. Now remember, in verses 1 and 2, what it says the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to Jesus. And what did the Pharisees say? They grumbled and said, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." I tell you, I hope that Sunbury City Church is always a place that's welcoming to sinners, recognizing that they're one of us. But like Pharisees, sometimes we get a little religion and we see ourselves a bit better than those around us. Look what he says in verse 29, the elder son. He says, "Look, all these years I've served you. I've never disobeyed your command. You never gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came home, you celebrate. I did this, I did that, I did that." He's so focused on himself, he couldn't see the joy and the grace of that his brother had repented. In fact, he was so angry, he didn't even call him his brother. He said, "This son of yours." And the point I want to make today is that, like the older brother, we often use the wrong measuring stick in judging ourselves. We get a bit of a self-righteous attitude going. We become desensitized to our own sin because, you know, we're doing pretty well. Going to church, trying to do what's right. And, you know, this story kind of portrays two basic ways people try to make life work. The younger son pursues a life of kind of self-discovery, doing his own thing, while the older brother chooses a more socially respectful way of moral conformity. And when the older brother feels the terms of his deal are violated, he's angry. But the story also shows that both of them need God's grace. And here's the biggest thing I want you to note. The father, verse 31, the father goes to him. The father doesn't sit in the house. The father literally ran to the other son. The father goes to this son. And he pleads with him and he said, "It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found." We can't nor should we ever diminish the correction or guilt that someone feels because they've sinned. However, we must be able and quick to point them to the one who forgave us of our sin, the gracious Father. You probably have heard it said already, someone said, "Love the sinner, but hate the sin." I say, you hate your sin, I'll hate mine, and let's love each other. This brother's repentance should have reminded him of God's mercy, God's grace, rather than resentment. And my desire this morning is that this passage will touch your heart, no matter where you are, as a reminder of knowing you have a Father who's looking for you. Perhaps if you are a Christian, it does remind you of God's grace, His mercy. And I really like that verse of scripture in Ephesians 2:4, where it talks about us being the sins that we had and all the way we were unacceptable. We were children of wrath. And then there's this word, but. Sometimes but can be a bad word, can be an unkind word, but it was, we saw in this parable, but while he was a long way off, the Father. And in Ephesians 2, it says, but even though you were children of wrath, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, which he loved us, made us alive together in Christ. But God, who is rich in mercy. Do you know what it means? Do you know what it means to be rich? It means having more than you need. And I don't know what your situation is this morning. You might be sitting here today and you might be saying, but Chris, you don't know what I've done, people I've cheated, the life I've lived, the things that I said. And I'm just hoping that I can, at some point, get to where I can become a Christian. I've got great news for you this morning. Becoming a Christian is not about resolving your sin. Becoming a Christian, it's just about admitting it. Repentance. Remember what it said? Whenever we look at this, it says that verse 15, or just verse 7 of this chapter, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents and over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. And the point I want to make, the final point I want to make in this is that forgiveness of sin and salvation requires repentance. In a way, this is the parable of three sons. The one who told the story is the son who left his father's house to bring home the lost. The other two simply need to recognize they're lost. A little later on in Luke, chapter 19, verse 10, it says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that was lost. Other parts of Scripture tell us that Jesus is a great physician, but he came not to heal those who are well, but to heal the sick. That is the gospel. That's the good news. And I hope that this story this morning is an encouragement to you in understanding this wonderful grace that is available, the mercy and grace that's available through admitting our sin and through faith in Jesus Christ. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, has saved a wretch like me. Let's pray. Father, I am so grateful for this story that you've told. This is not a story told by one of your prophets or someone else. This is a story that you told, that we might be able to know the great love of the Father. And you know the hearts of everyone who's here this morning, what their experience has been with their own father, what their experience has been even with their relationship with you. But oh Father, I pray this morning that in each and every case that this story, this passage, has given us a greater love for you and for the way you've loved us. knowing that you think the world of us, that you're looking for us to come to you, to repent, to say that we need you. We need the work of a father. And so I pray, Lord, if there's anyone here who has never looked to you, has never confessed their sin, repented of their sin, that the day that there will be rejoicing in heaven because of repentance. Thank you, Father, for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. In Christ's name, amen.